Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code podcast at Grooms.co. That's code podcast at GRUNS.co.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to the post-game podcast. No Jerry today. He had to leave early. So we've got Rami today. Good morning. Well, welcome, Rami.
Thank you for having me. This is fun. And also, I should say that I do enjoy the Eddie podcast.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of people probably looking forward to that today. But
yeah.
So apologies. I look forward to those too, but hopefully this will be decent.
You are not Eddie, as they say, right?
No. You
would say that. So you've taken over for Eddie. So I thought this would be a good meet Rami, the new Eddie. How old are you, Rami?
I'm 28.
28?
Correct, yes.
So how did you get this job? A lot of people want to know. How did that happen?
It's a little bit of a longer story, but I grew up listening to this show, listening to Boomer and Carton.
At what age?
When you guys
in 2007,
started,
you were how old?
9 or 10 years old, depending on what time
Damn.
Of year. So you guys started in September, so I was probably about not just turned 10 or 9 years old. Yeah, so,
wow.
And
what, your dad had it on?
Yeah, he had it on. He loved it. So I grew up listening to it, and then I kept listening to it even afterwards. When he wasn't listening anymore, I listened all the way through. And then
your dad stopped listening to the program? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. Mr. Rami.
Yeah, I think he started again recently.
Oh, okay, so he's back on the bandwagon.
I think, yes.
I wonder what pissed him off to make him stop listening for a little
probably
while.
Probably you. No, I don't know. I don't know what it would have been. But yeah, I grew up listening. I wanted to be part of this show. And then I didn't know that that was an option career-wise. And during COVID, I think I was laid off. Everyone was laid off. I didn't go to school for this. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, moved down to Maryland.
What were you doing before COVID hit?
Sales.
So what type of sales?
I was in real estate.
So really?
Yes. So
a residential or?
Residential.
Commercial.
Residential.
Really?
Yes.
You were taking people around looking
Correct.
At houses and things?
Yes.
Oh, that seems like a...
It was apartments. Like apartment complexes.
For rentals.
Correct.
So,
for
okay.
people. Yes.
So that was you. That was your specialty.
I don't know if it was my specialty, but that was my job.
That's what you fell into.
Yeah. It was kind of something to do, yes.
Yeah.
It was just someone was hiring, offered me a job. Sure, you don't need any experience.
And you'd get paid on every time you got someone to sign a lease, you would get a
first
little
month's
something,
rent.
Something.
Yes.
You would get the first month's rent?
Correct.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
So how much was rent going for back then?
It was in Connecticut. So they ranged between like 800 and like 2,000. So
not bad. You sign a couple people up, you're doing all right for yourself.
Yes, but they didn't want high turnover rate. So that was the problem. So there were only so few apartments that were actually that they were actually leasing, right? They didn't want people moving out.
If
someone who I brought in was then delinquent on their payments after 3 months and then they got out, I don't get paid on that.
Oh, really?
But yes, it was, they had to be there. I don't know if it was the full year or they had to be there the term of their lease before I got paid, but it was at least a few months before I got paid on it. So, yeah, so it wasn't like, oh, you get them in, they could leave tomorrow and you're paid. So that was, it was
all right,
less than that.
So you're doing that, COVID hits.
COVID hits, I moved down to Maryland and I was actually started listening to Boomer and Geo. I took a little bit of a break when Craig left. I started listening to Boomer and Geo again, I would say beginning of 2020. So right before COVID, because that's when I was driving around in Connecticut doing, you know, to different buildings. And I started listening in the car again. And I re-fell in love with the show. I know a lot of people talk about how it wasn't the best times. But when you guys were doing the COVID shows and I had nothing to do and I'm just driving in circles, that's when I really re-fell in love with the show. I felt like someone was going through it with me. It wasn't a podcast. It wasn't a recording. It wasn't something that was just, it was live. It was happening.
Yeah, there's something to that, and the live radio.
And I know Eddie makes fun of the Boomer hospitals on wheels and stuff like that. And you guys laugh about that. But like, to me, that I actually enjoyed hearing something going on. I think you guys did and correct me if I'm wrong, but I might be misremembering. Did you guys do an interview with Saquon Barkley where his phone was awful and you could not hear a word he was saying, but you guys probably had nothing else to talk about, so you just kept it going?
I don't remember that at all.
It was, I remember, listen, it may have been you guys who are a different show, but I was just cracking up. Like, you could not hear him at all. It was cutting out every other second, but it was like, hey, we have to do something here. Yeah. A lot of talk about the Jordan documentary, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that was big during COVID.
And when you guys announced that Craig was coming back, I was thrilled. I was honestly, that was the person I grew up on. And his first show, he said, hey, here's my email address. Email me. I want to show people that I'm a different person. So I sent a cold email to Craig Carton.
He gave out his email address?
It was an Entercom email address. It wasn't a personal email address, but it was an Entercom email address. I don't even know if he knows all this, but I sent him a cold email. He wrote back. He said, hey, if you think you're going to be good at this, you'll always regret not taking that chance to be great at it. So go take a chance, whatever that means, go find a job. And I looked up, Odyssey had a place in Baltimore and they have radio stations down there. They had a sales opening. I applied for the sales job. It took me 3 months to get it because they didn't like my real estate qualifications. But eventually I met the sales manager there and he hired me 3 months later. I did sales for 10 months and then I came to one of Craig's comedy shows because I wanted to meet him and thank him. I thought, wow, this is great. You know, I started a podcast. I'm doing a podcast. I'm in media. Like, this is everything I could have hoped for. And I met Spike Eskin there. And I said, I should introduce myself. I introduced myself to Spike. Spike said, you know what they're not going to put on air? They're not going to put the guy who's in sales on air. So you need to switch to the other side. So I went back to Baltimore and asked my manager, can you move me to these? Like, yeah, we could take away your sales commissions and put you on overnights cutting tape for minimum wage. I'm like, I guess. So I did that for another year in Baltimore and then reached out to Spike again. He moved me up here. I started here in June of 2023. I was on the air for the first time. Spike gave me a show. I sat with him once a week in his office and would go over, like, I would give him tapes and he would listen to it and give me directed notes. Once a week, I sat with Spike and he put me on the air in March of 2024 and then he left. And at that point I was like, so now what? And that's one of the things where it's like, you have to find ways to pivot. And of course I knew it was like 2 years out at that time, Eddie's retiring, but like, come on, there's people here who are ahead of me. I've just got here. I've been here less than a year.
Yeah.
But I went to David Marinick. I said, hey, it looks like I'm not getting on air anytime soon again. That's fine. When I said that to the architect, he's like, oh, you were upset you weren't getting on air at 26 years old anymore.
Right.
Like, I want to train with Eddie because I'm fascinated by what he does. I grew up on that show. During the overnight, sometimes when I was on the board, I'd sit and scroll through the drops and kind of familiarize myself with his folders. And I always thought, like, I could do that. I'd be good at that. I kind of messed around sometimes on C-Mac's show in the overnight. And David was like, yeah, sure. I don't know if you'll ever actually work on the show, but you can train. And I sat here the week that Stu Gotz was in and Diana Rossini, funny enough. And I watched Eddie and then I had a whole other appreciation for what he did because he was, you know, the way that the puppet mastering that he did to work a drop in or the jokes he had. I thought watching Eddie was funnier than the show itself. I thought I enjoyed the show, but I thought watching him was even funnier than the show itself. I would listen to him in here and I was dying laughing and I was fascinated by that. And I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go for this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is what I'm going to do.
For Eddie's job in particular.
Correct. I said, I want to work on that show. That's been my dream. I'm going to get to that spot. And that's why I have that drop from Gio in 2024 in the summer. And he goes, oh, Rami's got no shot, because they were talking about me doing it for the first time. When I, that summer in August, you were out and Eddie was out. So
right.
Leagues was sitting there and I was sitting here, and I did it that one day. They didn't even remember it. I don't know if I did a good job that day, but later during the holidays, I filled in a few times. I made the most of it. I played some funny drops, and Jerry took notice, and Jerry went to bat for me and said, hey, you know who's pretty good at this? Rami. And then there was a day in May, I think it was May 18th or 19th of last year, 2025, when Fleegs called out, Eddie was out, Zoo called out, Rascona called out, and so they came to me, and they're like, you want to do it? It's Boomer, Gio, Al, and Jerry, the full regular show, and you. And I hadn't done that at that point, and I filled in, and I made the joke on the show that day. I said, it's like Wally Pipp, you know? He filled in for Lou Gehrig, and all of a sudden, you never know what happens. I had a couple of well-timed drops, got lucky that day, I guess, that I was funny, and they liked me. I was a little bit of a self-promoter on the air that day. But I think that goes into it.
How so? What do you mean you were self-promoting that day?
I said at one point in Boomer's ear, I said, hey, you know, Fleegs is supposed to be here today, and he's not. And he's like, wait, Rami, what are you doing here? I knew that would bring up the conversation on air. You know, whenever, sometimes if I say something to Boomer, he'll bring it up on air. You say something to him like you did yesterday, which might have gotten me in trouble today, ultimately, with the credential and that whole situation. You say to him, hey, ask Rami if he got a credential. So I may be fired tomorrow, so we'll find out about that, because I went into our boss's office and took a credential out, but we'll see about that. But I got him to bring it up on air that I was sitting in when I wasn't supposed to, and then, you know, I kept saying, well, you know, I'm doing a decent job. I think actually, and he's going to love that I'm saying this, but Dan and Carteret called in and said, oh, Rami's doing a decent job. And so I think that kind of started a little bit of momentum. And then I'd say September, I first started. And it was before that, because I would then go to Gio, you know, when I was doing digital, or if I did the overnight, I'd stick around and stay for the morning and give Gio a couple show ideas. Hey, I saw this on social media. I think it would be funny for you guys to bring up. I listened to every show start to finish on the Odyssey app, the commercial breaks too. I wanted to hear exactly how Eddie was doing things. I started basically studying the show, and I listened 4 hours a day, every day, no matter what. Listened to post-game podcast, warm-up show. So it was basically 5.5 hours of content that I was consuming every day from, I'd say, middle of 2024, just like, hey, I'm going for this, and this is, I think, the best way that I can do this.
Yeah.
And so I studied the show, listened to you guys, and I would also come to Gio, and I was more visible, and I think he liked that I was giving him some ideas, and, you know, even if it was a DM on social media, and we started conversations September time, and then, you know, things kind of developed over the next course of a few months. I got to fill in a few more times, and then that was basically, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, it was funny because when Eddie announced that he was going to retire in whatever it was, 2 years, it was a long thing. I had asked around to everybody, just anyone who was around in the hallways, and I would say, hey, who would you try out for Eddie's job? And everybody said Connor Green.
Connor's fantastic.
Everyone was like, Connor Green. Then some people had brought up Tommy, and I know that Tommy years ago had filled in for Eddie and was doing drops, but at this point, Tommy was now a main voice on the afternoon show with Evan and Tiki. So I knew Tommy wouldn't want to lose that. You know, it felt like a major.
It would be like either a parallel or a move backwards at that point.
Yeah, it just felt like Tommy had moved to more of an on-air role, and we always used to say that Eddie's on-air role, though Eddie speaks into the microphone sometimes, most of his talking was done with the drops, right? So we didn't know, would Tommy want to do that? And then there were a couple other people whose names came up, and I remember I went to David at the time, and I said, hey, you know, Eddie's going to be on vacation over these next 2 years. Let's roll some of these people through. They rolled nobody through. They just moved. They had always put Mike Fliegelman, the overnight guy, in to either fill in for me or to fill in for Eddie, and they didn't move anybody through that was, I think that was, that people had told me were good with the drops. And Fliegelman, for a long time, I don't think did any drops. Then near the end, I think he would try to work some in. That's a weird position too, because I wouldn't know what to do if I was filling in for Eddie. You know, like you either...
It's weird. I don't want to imitate him, right. And I don't want to overdo it. And even still today, every day, I'm trying to, okay, how would this be? And what I found what was great and watching him specifically was his patience with it, or his holding himself back was almost more impressive than the drops itself. Whereas, hey, I found this. It's a second too late.
Yeah.
I could squeeze this in right here and it would still be funny, but there'll be another time. It'll come back. The conversation will come back around, or I won't get to it today, and that's okay. His restraint was almost more impressive than the drops themselves.
And every once in a great while, Eddie would set himself up, like
to bring it back. And that's
but
what
it,
I experienced.
It had to be a very special way to do it. It's also funny, like how we decide here, you know, because we can, in this room that you and I are in, and that Eddie was in, we can talk into the ear of anybody on the air. Without it going out over the air. So it's funny, sometimes, like you said, that I brought up to Boomer, like I told Boomer to ask you about a press pass, because it was just funnier than me asking you about a press pass, because no one's going to go back at Boomer and say, why did you ask that? You know what I mean? So
right,
it works
exactly,
better.
Exactly.
It works better that Boomer asks you, because then you have to answer, right? Because it's Boomer.
Correct.
And if Boomer says, well, go get it,
I couldn't say
now
no to
you
him.
Go get it.
And I went and got it. And there was I had no choice in the moment. And so whatever happens, I'm going to say, go to that guy. Go to Boomer. And by the way, guess what? Our bosses are not going to go to Boomer and complain. They're going to complain to me. But
right. They're
not going to go to Boomer.
It was also like if there was a crack on Boomer, even if I thought of it, I would give it to Eddie because Eddie was the guy who cracked on Boomer. You know what I mean?
So correct, yes.
You try to give it to the person who it works best for.
Right. And even my father will sometimes say, I said, he started listening again. He'll text me like, are you sure? Like they're good with it when I would, you know, rip on Boomer or whatever, or
right. Play
a drop on him now. He's
yeah.
you know, you're new, but just like, be careful. I'm like, I think that's part of it. Like, you can't be afraid.
Yes.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric. It's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota. Let's go places.
So were people upset when you got this job? Because you were part-time.
Correct.
There were full-timers here who probably wanted the different better hours. And I don't know if it pays more to work in the morning. I don't know. I know Eddie, you know, Eddie had been here since 1989. So
right.
He was clearly being paid better than other shifts. Were people mad at you or were they mad at the station? How did that go down to you?
I think they were mad at the decision. That I don't think anyone was particularly mad at me other than maybe one person. What was interesting also was the timing of it all, because they called me in, Boomer and Greg, around the holidays. And that's when Boomer was the one who told me, hey, you know, I think this is what we're going to be doing and moving forward. And I was, you know, I was thrilled. That was probably the last week of the year. And then they didn't really let everyone else know until
3 weeks into your job.
No, that's when they let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a text from the boss. Phone call from the boss Eddie's last day that Thursday at 11 a.m. saying, hey, so you're going to start full time on Monday. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware. Thank you. But no, it was the last week in January. So it was only it was about a month later. They told everyone else. It was still plenty of time before Eddie was retiring, but it was about a month after they had let me know. And from that point, that was the Friday they told everyone before the Islander game when we were all in the suite together that Saturday night. So I was approached by a couple of people together in the Islander suite like, hey, congrats, dude. Like, you know, it wasn't the friendliest of conversations by, you know, a couple of the people who felt like they should have gotten it.
Yeah.
And Gio watched the conversation happen, which was funny. And he just kind of looked at me and was like, happens, you know, like you can't please everyone. So there was one Twitter rant, but outside of that, by one of them, but outside of that, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. And like, you must have impressed them a week I was not here. Because I remember I came back from a vacation and I don't know if that was the holiday week or if
Might
that was
been.
August or whatever it was, because they were like, hey, we think Rami. What do you think of Rami? I'm not even sure that I've worked in this room with him yet, but I knew they were interested in you. I was like, okay, so when he fills in, hopefully they have him fill in more. We'll see, what he does. So then, as it went on, they're like, what do you think, Rami? I think he's our best option, right? He's hits the drops. He's studies the drops. He's knows the show since he was listening. I think Gio liked this too. It's like, you know, we're all, now the WFA and listener is generally older, right? But like I'm 56, Boomer's 65, Jerry's 52, I think. Gio's 43, somewhere in there. It's interesting to have a younger perspective on things because even though we're on social media, we see different things and it really becomes evident. Like you'll say, did you see this? Did you see that? I didn't see it. It's not in my algorithm. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, I think it's an interesting, good to have like a younger person.
Yeah.
I think this mix.
That's certainly part of it. And that was one of the things that I was mentioning that I would go to Gio and be like, hey, here's the thing that I think is funny on social media. Here's something interesting. And he would a lot of times use it on air. And I think also, and you guys made fun of me about this, was way before when I would talk a lot, some of those 5-hour overnights with C-Mac when it's the fourth hour and there's no one calling and you and Gio are driving in at that time and I'm just blabbering my face off and you guys are like, I don't know, this kid's got a lot of balls just talking a lot. But I think maybe there was also, as much as you thought, okay, that's a little weird, but there was also something that maybe you guys liked there. And yeah, that I think we only worked together, you and I, prior to, you know, those last few vacation days that Eddie took starting, I guess, like April of this year, or the Monday after the Super Bowl was the first one that we worked together. But prior to that, the only time we worked together was that one Monday in May last year after the Knicks advanced to the conference finals. That was the only day you and I had sat in here together.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it was only because... And they would have Fliegelman fill in for me. They would have Fliegelman fill in for Eddie. So both of us would have had to been out.
Correct.
In order for
me to get an opportunity. Yeah. And so that's what was interesting. I'm also obviously curious to hear like your guys' perspective on all of it, because the only person who really communicated with me at all about this was Gio, who would be like, hey, you know, just a heads up, we're not. He didn't tell me it's you, but like if you keep doing a good job, like maybe you'll have a shot at this. I was like, huh, okay, good.
Yeah, and I would say everyone here, like Gio, Boomer, management, they, even though they would come to me too and say, what do you think? Are you good with this? If we, you know, you're in there, you're in that room, you're going to be in that box with him. You know, this is why
I was told that would be the biggest challenge.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting how it all came about. And I, you know, one of the things, and WFAN was weird, was for a long time, it felt like, because this is prior to me getting here, but just knowing the history of it, for a really long time, it seemed like the behind the scenes guys, those roles got filled based on seniority. And I always thought that was strange because you'd always heard that that wasn't the case in radio, right? So it was like, who's the better fit? But now that it's a different skill set now even too, right? So you have a lot of video editing experience, which I have
correct,
zero.
Yes. Really the way I also got some visibility on the show was I would fill in for Kaf, fill in for Izzo, fill in for Gallo doing digital for the show.
Yeah.
And I would try and do just a little bit more than just what was asked. Like I would do something funny with you guys. I would try and do a little bit more, push it a little bit more again for the same reason, to try and just expose my... And I remember throughout that time from the beginning, I would like when Gio said he's got no shot, I was like, well, they're saying my name in reference to the job. In my head, I was like, okay, I have a 1% chance. And then as time went on, I would raise that percentage in my head. I'd be like, okay, I think I'm at 30% now. And then over time, it turned into, all right, I think I really got this.
Yeah.
It didn't feel real until the day I started. And it still doesn't. It won't even hit me, other than the sleep schedule has fully hit me. But the I think it'll hit me football season.
Because
this is actually what I'm doing.
Yeah, and that Eddie's just not on vacation.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
We do take a lot of vacations in the summer. The whole radio station is kind of all over the place in the summer with people filling in and different part-timers in and out. So, all right.
All right. Yeah.
That's it.
That's the whole thing. How would you say it's been?
Meet Rami. So far, so good, I think. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think very well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think, but we're getting along nicely in here.
I think so. Yes. I've been fine. I hope it's been. Again, I'm someone who also, like, if you have something, just say it to me. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, with everyone, it's not just you. It's Boomer. It's Gio. It's Jerry. Like, just tell me, and I'll do something. You know, I'll be. I want to learn. I want to know. I want to, like.
Well, Eddie was just such a low key. Person in here, right?
Correct. Yes, and I don't have that personality.
Yeah, you don't have that personality, but I don't know what you know. It's really just when I'm screaming at the callers or yelling and complaining, but it doesn't go. It's not like that. That wouldn't work with you in here. You know what I mean? It's
no. There was the day that you were sitting on the floor with the phone in your lap. That was before Eddie retired, and I was in here just like
I was curled up in the fetal position with the phone.
And afterwards, when I brought that up to the architect, he's like, next time video that for social content. He's like, because in the moment Al was upset, but afterwards he would think it's funny and you could post
it. And what was I doing on the floor? What were the
that
callers?
Was when you said the callers have won.
They defeated me?
Yes, they defeated you because
what was the topic that I couldn't get off?
It was something about, oh my God, that was the day. So this phone screener was broken. So you're using my screener. It spun around. And I remember the one person who said, you know, people never grow up and I still wear Boomer's jersey or something. I don't even remember what the topic was, but it was so all over the place. And you hadn't slept all weekend because Whimsy, there was an issue with Whimsy that
dog
weekend.
Issue, yep.
Yeah, you mentioned, you go, that was when you said, I long for Mondays to get away from the dog.
I didn't want weekends anymore.
Exactly.
Okay, I long for Mondays.
A lot of drops came from that. Particular day.
I do remember laying down on the floor going, the callers have won.
I don't remember what the call that broke the camel's back was.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like a, oh my God. Because you were throughout the day that day, you were like, oh, this caller sucks. This caller sucks. And I was like laughing along. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is getting serious.
I demand greatness from the callers. The great Mike Francesa said in his first final goodbye on FAN that he does the show for the listeners. And he said something to the effect of, if you're going to be a part of the show, a caller, I'm going to expect much more of you. I'm going to demand more of you. So that's what I have. I demand more of the callers.
And listening to the station throughout the day, I wish more shows had that sentiment.
Eddie always used to love when I would be, because this does happen sometimes, I will be fighting with a caller, going back and forth, screaming at each other, screaming. And then I go, you know what? That's a good point. Start there.
And but Eddie they used never to start there.
They never do. But Eddie always used to love if a caller won me over after screaming at each other. Because it happens sometimes. I'm pushing back and yelling at the callers. So they argue their point to get to a point where it makes sense. And I go, okay. But you're right. I always say, okay, start there.
And there are days where you'll put the terrible caller on purpose, where you think it's fun. Like when somebody called up and talked about their surgery that Aaron Judge should have.
Yes.
And the Yankees now need to play small ball.
Small ball, yeah. Yeah, occasionally a caller has to be either super terrible or good. The kind of terrible, those are the ones that are terrible.
The person calling about something that was talked about yesterday or 3 hours ago. Yeah.
Yes. All right, Rami, I enjoyed this. And hopefully the listeners get to know you a little better with this. And you'll be filling in when Jerry can't do the podcast or if I can't do the podcast. We did do the warm-up show. Jerry was around for that. Yes. We do that at 5 a.m. every weekday. And we'll be back tomorrow on a Friday. Are you going to do See Us?
I can try.
All right, so what we'll do is I'll do See You, you do See You, I do See You.
All right.
So, nailed it.